Welcome to a fun and fast-paced show. It's all for you about the language of our beloved aftermarket. I'm so glad you're here, taking in the voices, ideas, and insights that are shaping the future of the automotive aftermarket. Carm Capriato here, your host of Remarkable Results Radio, the Town Hall Academy, and AftermarketWeekly.com. Hey, two guests today, Chris Clodier, co-owner of Golden Rule Auto Care in Dallas, Texas, and CEO of Autotext.me, and Bob Greenwood, president and CEO of the Automotive Aftermarket e-learning center. Now, I love having Chris and Bob on, as they do have a great way of presenting their passion for our industry. Now, Chris and Bob are providing provocative ideas for change in the language that we use. Now, they believe that many of the words we use don't have the same meaning or strength today that they did years ago. Some of the language they feel we need to remove is training, customer, and business owner, just to name a few. We've taken great notes for you, so you can use this as an agenda in your next team meeting or networking meeting. Go to the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E571. Also find Chris's and Bob's bios and the links to their previous episodes. Hey, before we dive deep into this episode with Chris and Bob, I'd like to thank my sponsor, Napa Pro Image, for their support and for making this show possible. We here at the podcast are proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2020 Napa Expo. Now, join Napa in Las Vegas, February 1st through the 4th, 2021, where you'll discover the latest news and industry information. Mark your calendar and plan to be there. Enrollment has begun. I hope to see you there. Contact your Napa store to find more. See you in Las Vegas. I've got a survey up at remarkableresults.biz/survey. It's very short, and I welcome your input. It'll only take about 4 minutes to help me discover your likes and needs as we continue to drive the podcasting needs of the aftermarket.
You have to define the language. I love client versus customer. Absolutely. Mindset change. Just a little tweak to that language changes your mindset.
Hey, not sure how you listen, but the majority of you do listen mobile. And if you're not listening on a mobile device, download a free listening app at remarkableresults.biz/listen. There you'll find links to Apple, Google Podcasts, among others. Enjoy the insights wherever you go. Hey, once again, thanks for tuning in. Are you watching the new show, AftermarketWeekly.com? Well, it's a live show every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time. Watch live on the website or on social media sites. Every episode is archived on the web at AftermarketWeekly.com. Now, besides great short topics, you'll get a live shop tour. Yep, we've been to shops all over North America, and you may just take a great idea from one of them. AftermarketWeekly.com. Now enjoy Chris Clodier and Bob Greenwood as they embark on helping us find the new language of the aftermarket. Hey, warm welcome to two of my real good buddies in the industry, Bob Greenwood from the Automotive Aftermarket e-learning center. Hello, Robert.
Carm, how are you? It's a great day.
It is a great day. Thanks so much. There was a lot of noise about that podcast, the Town Hall Academy we did on labor rates. We edit these things and re-listen to them and do the video. I even learned more when I heard it again. Everyone should take a shot with it. Town Hall Academy 187. We talked all about labor rates. Chris Clodier. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Carm. How are you?
Golden Rule Auto Care, CEO, Autotext.me. You're a busy guy.
The good kind of busy, though, Carm. Not the four-letter word, busy.
And the good kind of busy would be, have you played guitar in a while?
That I can say I haven't, because soccer season has kicked in with my daughters, and that's my other guilty pleasure, is watching soccer. In the new COVID, I can actually watch a sport that makes me feel like I'm human again. It's nice. I'm wearing the face mask, but
yeah, in the bleachers, yeah.
They don't have to, yeah, absolutely. But they don't have to, which is nice.
Good for you. I invited both of you here because I know you both have a passion about terminology inside the industry. We've covered this in the past. Every once in a while, someone would say something like technician, and I said, well, we used to call them mechanics. And there's so much of this going on. And by the way, we need to do a show on acronyms too, another day sometime, you know, because we drop them so often. And can you imagine the new people in our industry wanting to know, so what the hell was that?
Carm, I have my list of acronyms just in case later in this episode you want to bust a couple out. I wrote them down. They're right on my cheat sheet right there. I'm glad you introduced the idea. You planted the seed in me and Bob's head.
Look, both of you guys are passionate about, you know, changing the terminology that we have in our industry, and I flip in a coin. Chris, you're going to go first. Give us something, and then let's have a chat about it.
Oh, this is the one thing I want to talk about. Shop owner versus a business owner. The shop owner, the whole mentality of being a shop owner versus a leader. I mean, we talk about this. You invite me on a lot of podcasts, and I like the terminology of business owner, leader versus shop owner. What does it mean to own a shop? Anybody can own a shop, but I think when you own a business and you're a leader, that I think it absolutely changes the way that you think as well as the way other people look at you. Shop owner is just one of those terms that bothers me. Shop owner. What does that mean? What kind of shop? A tea shop? You own what kind of shop? So I like, once again, business owner. And I'm going to add one R before I get some comments on here. If you're a business owner, there's a difference between entrepreneur and business owner. And I hear those terms intermingled a lot. No, there are people who are business owners who go buy businesses, but there's nothing wrong with that. And there's entrepreneurs that they are the crazy, I've got an idea, I'm going to change the world. I've got 20,000 ideas, I'm just telling you three or four. And they go out and chase all these different things. It's different. An entrepreneur's mindset is different than a business owner's mindset. Now, a lot of times they'll cross paths, but they are different.
Would you classify a person coming from outside the industry into the industry an entrepreneur?
Potentially, because there are other people who have owned other kinds of businesses that come in. For instance, there's a pretty successful guy in this industry that was a restaurant business owner, came over, and he's now out of shop. So he took a lot of his business principles and applied them here. And I think that works very well. Would he be considered an entrepreneur? In some circles may consider him an entrepreneur, but I think he's a business owner. I think he has a business mind. I think he understands numbers very well. Entrepreneurs, a lot of times, those are the guys who, and gals, who don't really care about numbers. They care about ideas. They care about thoughts. And it's a very left brain, right brain type of thought. And I think Bob probably runs into a lot of, he knows the difference between the entrepreneur, which has no idea what his numbers are, but they're going to crush it. They're going to change the world, versus the business owner who could say, hey, Bob, let's sit down with our P&L and let's, you know, dig in and help guide me through what it means to build a business and build people.
I can't imagine, Bob, you have nothing to say about that.
No, I agree. We just don't have enough business owners out there that want to understand their numbers. Too many entrepreneurs. Chris, I totally agree with you. And that business owner can also elevate them to a CEO position eventually. You know, chief executive officer, the CEO of my company. And that CEO studies numbers differently, but they still study numbers.
I've heard you talk so passionately in the articles that you've written, Bob, about becoming the CEO of your business. Chris, you know, you say it one way, Bob says it another. It's the same thing. We've got to get up and off of going to work every day, you know, with a turn wrench mentality to run a business.
And I like that, CEO, and I know Bob uses that term a lot. And that's my equivalent to business owner, right? Once again, entrepreneur, I agree with, you know, Bob, there's a lot of ideas, people. Business owner, you start to become that CEO. You start understanding. Now, a lot of people, once you get to CEO level, I think it changes quite a bit. Your mentality really starts to change. And I think that's when you really start getting to, well, why are you in your day-to-day operations? That's when you really start working on your business, not in your business.
And that, Chris, is where you're turning it from a trade to a profession. And this truly is a profession today, a profession of competent business owners who are elevating themselves to a CEO to run the enterprise and work on it, not in it. And when they're at that mental level, they are addressing our profession in this new aftermarket like never before, and they're focused on making net profit.
I hear you both. I'm sitting in the audience. I'm a shop owner. I'm listening, struggling a little bit. I think I'm okay. The roller coaster ride with COVID has been just unbelievable, but I'm buying in. No longer a trade, but a profession. Wow, it's so easy for those guys to say. So how do I really do this?
Understanding this profession today is a change in mindset. And I truly believe that we lack a lot of discipline in our profession, our aftermarket, because we seem to pick out the odd little bullet here and bullet there, but never the full concept. And I'll give you one very simple example. I've always worked with my clients to build a client strategic business versus a customer based business. And I've met people where they, client, that sounds cool. No, it's not cool. Look who has clients. A lawyer has clients. A law firm has clients. An accounting firm has clients. Why? Because clients I have a responsibility to. Customers come and go. They don't want a relationship. I've earned trust with my clients. And now I'm moving into a strategic format to build my business in a client strategic manner. So now I've got to be able to lay out my value proposition. What makes us unique and different? What do I bring to the table that others do not? And do I truly point out in this profession with my client base, I don't sell them anything. I counsel them. And when we counsel them to the what is in their best interest on their vehicle, based on how they use it, what their expectations are of that vehicle, all for safety, reliability, and efficiency. So when I'm managing a vehicle, I have to take the time to understand the vehicle. I have to understand the client, what their expectations are. Now my service consultant at the front is taking all these notes and starting to counsel me as the client, starting to counsel me on what is in my best interest with my vehicle. Now we're managing it. We know when the calendar is going to be full. We can see 2 months, 6 months, a year down the road when this vehicle will be in and what we will be doing to it. We know when the intervals are coming up. My client doesn't have to worry about it. We're managing it on their behalf to save them money because we do it so much better. So this profession, it's a mindset change. And if you can't change your mindset, there's no silver bullet here to think you're going to get it all. Not going to work. Are you one of these people that has to satisfy everybody who walks through that door? Or are you prepared to say, you know what, here's our value proposition. This is what we require to do it right. And maybe we're not the shop for you.
And I want to add on to something, because I think that was beautiful, what Bob just said. One of the reasons I really like Bob, Carm, if you haven't noticed, I mean, we sport the same haircut. So if you do a video of this, I mean, hopefully you'll see that we're sporting the same haircut. And because, you know, I've heard that bald people think alike. But he said mindset. So what we're talking about right now in this episode is language and how we use the terms and how we describe certain things. And you set your mindset by the language that you use. So it does make a difference if you think yourself as a CEO versus a shop owner, whether you think yourself as a counter salesperson versus a service advisor. All these things, I think, absolutely set the mindset, but the language that we use has to be part of what we do, and it has to help define what we are. Because if we use cheap language, then I think we think very cheap of ourselves. Once again, technician versus mechanic. This is why I like using the word technician, because I hear this, and I hear some people go, mechanic, mechanic's fine. No, because I come from the software industry. I'm an engineer, right? And if somebody were just call me a computer jockey, I'd be like, no, hold on. I'm a software engineer. I'm a technical person. And the more technical cars get and the more advanced they become, the more the advanced the type of people we're going to have to hire become. And we need to call them technical people. And that's why I like calling my technicians technicians, because they are flashing drives and they are reprogramming computers and they are calibrating the cameras and the LIDARs and starting to do calibrations on the alignments. So they are technicians. And the connotation of mechanic is much different than the connotation of technician.
Totally. And also, we're trying to get the younger people to come into our profession, but we're still tying it to trade, mechanics, you know, we fix cars. No, we're technicians in this profession. We have to diagnose the software properly. And as lines of software code grow in these vehicles, our skill level has got to come to the top. And we can do it. We are that professional. you know, this mindset has to be in place. But the language, as Chris is saying, the language has to be said. And I listen to people who one day they'll use client, the next day they're back to customers, and the next day they're back to still a trade. They're all over the map because they haven't changed their mindset. They haven't elevated themselves to think like that and then practice the discipline so it becomes a norm.
Hey, Carm here, and listen when Chris wonders if calling ourselves the independent automotive aftermarket continues to have value. Hey, it's Carm here, talking to you about what the NAPA Auto Care Center program can do for your business. Now, you probably already know the NAPA brand is the most recognized and trusted name in the automotive aftermarket industry. In fact, studies show that 95% of consumers recognize NAPA and associate it with quality parts, service, and technical expertise. So why not complete a Pro Image upgrade and take advantage of that? Pro Image is a co-branding program for the exterior and interior of your shop. On the outside, it includes the NAPA colors and distinctive NAPA signage. While the public may know you as a reliable, locally owned business, a Pro Image upgrade helps set your shop apart from the competition even further. It's also a visual signal to customers and potential customers that you and NAPA are partners. Most importantly, Pro Image really works. This co-branding opportunity has helped NAPA Auto Care Centers across the country increase their car counts and sales. In fact, those that have completed a Pro Image project enjoy an average 23% sales increase during the first year. Pro Image upgrades are also available for the interior of your shop. A Pro Image interior upgrade transforms your customer waiting area from merely utilitarian to warm and welcoming. The goal is to maintain your shop's independent identity while enhancing the customer's experience. You can get a free look at what a Pro Image exterior and interior upgrade could look like by visiting the NAPA Auto Care member site and clicking on the NAPA Pro Image link under the NAPA Pro Image tab. Or contact your local NAPA Auto Parts store. Your servicing NAPA store can tell you more about Pro Image, plus the hundreds of other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Hey, look, go to the show notes page if you're listening to this. The URL, I would have talked about it in the opening monologue. These changes in language will be listed there. And what I want you to do as a shop owner, as a business person, take that list in a meeting with your people and go over it. And then I want you to have that $5 jar. When you say the wrong word, you put the money in the jar, right? And we'll see which person ends up buying lunch at the end of the week. You know, you write your name on the $5 bill and you see who has the most lunches on Bob because he doesn't get the language barrier that we're trying to create. And Bob, I love what you said. It's a mindset change. And in order to get to the next level, to change the wording that we use to make clients from customers, you know, it has to start with the leader. Chris, you mentioned it up front. So critical. I love where this is going. And it's not only a discussion on language. You guys are turning it into a how. But how do I start? Sometimes someone needs a slap in the butt to sit down and have a meeting and say, we're changing our culture. And it starts with the language we use.
And it starts with the owner, the CEO. They must be the leader and the director to them. So even the team, you're talking differently these days. What's up? Let's have a, you know, how's this going to work out? What do you mean when you say client? What are you talking about there? And look at it this way. Here's another simple example. Why do we still refer to the vehicle coming in to the bays and we fill out a work order? Like, really? Where else do you see that term or hear that term anywhere? Next time you go to a restaurant, I want you to say to the waiter or the waitress, geez, do you want to bring me my work order, please, for my meal? I'd appreciate that. And the girl goes, what? What are you talking about? We use too many industry terms to the public. Use terms they understand. They understand the term invoice. I like the word invoice. It goes well with the profession. When I ran our accounting firm, we always had the invoice ready for the client, for sure. Taking that mindset and changing it. And, you know, I agree with Chris and what he's saying. I have another term for service advisor because I think we're out of the advisor days. We're moving into the consulting days, and it has to do with understanding that vehicle. And let me just briefly explain this. As a service consultant at that front counter, the first thing we want to do is a full comprehensive inspection on that vehicle so I know that vehicle from bumper to bumper to bumper, edge, so that we can now advise and counsel the client what is in their best interest. based on what we see, because we now know their expectation of the vehicle. We know how many miles they drive a year, what kind of driving it is, off-road, city driving, highway driving. We understand that, and it's all documented. So now I can put out the intervals properly for this particular client. I'm getting away from these seasonal marketing things where everybody's the same thing. It's fall, get your fall special. And, you know, I don't want to be part of a fall special. I want somebody to look after my vehicle based on my needs. So who can I trust and have a conversation with? That service consultant is the person. They get it and they understand it. That's a big mindset change at that front counter. And that's where we come to slowing the business down, because when you're too busy, you don't have time to spend with the client to get all the detail you require. So that's why we want to remain steady, not busy. When I'm steady, I'm in control. I've got the time. I'm building my relationships, and my relationships build trust.
So it does start with the owner, Carm. I'm going to go back to that, because everything Bob just said is gold. Advisor, consultant. Funny, one of the sales trainings that I took, it goes through the different levels of sales. And you know, at your bottom, you have kind of your feature puker and your, you know, you get up to order taker. And we've probably all seen that, right? And advisor and consultant are at the top. So I either one of those, I like consultant, I like advisor. I think that you still are. Advisor is still consulting. Right. And, or you could just call them consultants. So I really like those terms. But where it starts, Carm, is it starts with the leader. And you have to read. And I'm going to go back to reading, because I always have books. But interestingly enough, How to Win Friends and Influence People, one of, I think, the greatest books that was ever written, and one of the books on relationships and how to deal with people and how to deal with your people. I think this is the Bible. I give this to all my new people, and was having a conversation. You know, don't criticize people and you know, don't talk about people behind their back and things like that. And it was interesting, right? It totally has nothing to do with this conversation, other than you have to be the one who changes. You have to be the one who understands how to communicate with your people. Mm-hmm. You have to understand how to motivate your people. You have to understand how to feed your people and train your people, right? And then, which you talk about ad nauseum, training. Are you training your technicians? Are you sending them to the new digital flashing classes and the new digital alignment? Are you taking the time to make them feel like a technician, or are you telling them, go change out a part real quick? Don't do the diagnostic. Don't, you know, you got the one guy who's diagging everything, or it's you, the business owner, who's diagnosing everything. And then you're just, you got a bunch of parts changers in your shop. And let's call them what they are. I mean, those guys are just, they're mechanics, part tester. I want technicians. I want ASC trained, certified technicians. In both my shops, you don't get to be a technician until you get certifications, because I think it's that important, right? As a leader, you have to set those expectations. You have to define the language. I love client versus customer. Absolutely. Mindset change. Just a little tweak to that language changes your mindset, because clientele, it's very French sounding, right? That sounds important.
I always love the French way of saying things.
Yes, I can say that in parlez-vous français.
Recently, I mentioned this on a podcast, and I don't recall which one it was, probably within the last month, but I had some eye surgery recently. The surgical center called. It was Sally Smith, RN. I knew that the person at the other end of the phone who was asking me for stuff that I had to have ready and prepared was a pretty big deal. An RN. Okay. Pinnacle of their career, constantly having to take classes, I mean, schooling, the whole thing, RN, which prompted me to think of this whole language that we have, this technician, and it would be so cool that if a client ever had an interaction with one of my technicians, and I introduced him as, this is Chris Clodier, ACT, ASE Certified Technician, or something, that we would have some kind of certification in our industry, or forget picking an acronym like ACT, ASE Certified Technician, and just call them ASE Master Technician, comma. You know, like people, Bob, you have an AM from AMI, and Chris, you probably have a certification. I have one from the Auto Care Association called AAP after my name, because I've gone through the classes, spent the money, graduated, did whatever I had to do. What's wrong with putting a moniker, and I don't mean that in a negative way, on our technicians?
And that should be on their business card as well. You know, in this profession, we have to have business cards. We don't. And every staff member, every team member should have a business card with their certifications on there. And not to back up the truck, but I'm going to back up the truck to a word that Chris mentioned that it just came to me, like training. You know, in this profession, we don't train. We develop. We're in a continuous development of our knowledge. So we attend a course, we pick up that information, it gets added on to the other information I had, I understand it, I expand it, and I utilize it and become productive until my next update. And my next update in my development is going to be this class, because it will add to this other knowledge here. Training, this is a pen. I'll train you how to use it, okay? What it does, that's it. But when we are in this kind of profession, we are continuously developing our knowledge. And every service counter person, every technician, every business CEO has to continuously develop their knowledge today. It is ongoing. And I've been talking to shops in the past month. I can't believe I'm hearing from them for the very first time. And they have no classes lined up for this fall. I said, you should have classes lined up for the next year because you're developing your team. Obviously, you've never done an assessment of your team as to what is required to elevate their knowledge and bring up our professional experience given to our clients. I guess I'm from the old aftermarket, unfortunately, because they're still thinking like that. There's so much opportunity here in this profession. It's mind-boggling. Just mind-boggling.
And I purposely carved through that out because I knew Bob would bite on that training versus developing, because I know Bob is big on developing and continuous in education, which I agree. Oh, by the way, I do. I'm ASC certified. Well, it's expired, but I still got my card. So I'm ASC certified. And we do, Carm, we do make it a point at our shops to say ASC certified technicians. We use that term. You know what? Just like RN, I don't know what RN stands for. I think it's registered nurse, but it might be residential nurse, but it might be
registered nurse.
It might be regular nurse. I know what it means, but I'm saying most people don't know what RN means, but it sounds very official. They don't have to know what ASC stands for, but it sure does sound super awesome if you say my ASC certified technician. Oh, wow. That means they've got something extra than the mechanic down the road. Yes, they do, ma'am or sir.
I want to back up to something Bob said, and both you, Chris, talking about the service counselor rather than the service advisor, if we can get that moniker to stick. And I couldn't help but think when Bob mentioned consultant, if you're a student of really good sales, there's the approach of transactional or consultative selling, right? And so it is so important. Consultative selling is relationship selling. And so what better term, if you will, guys, than calling that person a service consultant or counselor, because that under the covers means relationships.
And that's what we're in today, to build relationships to our client base. And when you build that relationship, what settles in? Trust. And when trust is in place, you've got a fabulous business. Business ethics, because you have built the trust, I will never let anybody down. I have good business ethics. I'm not going to let you down. But here's what I require to do it right. And that's what we've got to educate and understand that difference.
On today's AftermarketWeekly.com, I brought up a survey from IMR, and it was the top concerns the technicians have. And 47% of the respondents said keeping up with technology. And next to it, and basically I told my audience, that has to do with training. Let's talk about training. Trainers or instructors, guys?
I'm a believer they're instructors because if they've done their due diligence, they've done a lot of research into what they're going to deliver, because any instructor who is presenting anything doesn't want to have a student in that class or that session that is above them. They want the answers. They have the know-how to answer all questions in thorough answer that the person will understand. That takes a lot of time and investment in time. And I'll tell you, these developers are unbelievable. The best ones out there, you know who they are.
I agree with the instructor. Karma, I just did a show with you and Craig, and we did it on Toastmasters and presentation. And one of the favorite movie quotes that I love, because I've been referred to this person often, is Megamind. And Megamind comes out at the end of the show when he's fighting the last person he created. And he said, no, we're both villains. The guy says, we're both villains. He goes, no, I'm a supervillain. You know the difference between you and me? And he said, presentation, right? And he comes rolling out on a skull and all that. There are instructors who I think really understand the whole presentation piece and that are very good at what they deliver, and they take the time to understand it. Unfortunately, I do think that we do have people that are trainers. Unfortunately, I think this industry has both. And I guess I'm not going to say this to be mean. I'm a true believer in Kaizen, so I believe in continuous improvement, always moving forward, always educating myself. So I do my best to sit and listen for one thing, just one thing, and find that one thing in any class and anything I listen to, because it better be worth my time if I sat and watched it or sat and listened to it. Yeah. But I think sometimes you get these people who give you, they don't really do a good job. And this goes to technician training as well, where sometimes I send my guys off to a class and the guy has really good knowledge, but his presentation skills suck.
Yeah.
And they just can't get across. And my guys are confused. They're like, I don't even understand. And I've sat in business classes, I've sat in marketing classes, I've sat in management classes, and I've seen good instructors who understand the whole presentation and understand everything about what they're doing, and they take the time to research and lay out what they're presenting, versus people who just have knowledge that try and regurgitate it to, you know, people in the class.
I want to try to wrap, put a bow on this, and the bow I would like to put is that we need a new think. So every time we sit down to have a conversation with our people, with our customers, with our peers in our industries, we have to put on a new language think. And the only way I think it's going to get done is we almost need to put a list up, and hopefully you're going to go to the website, you're going to copy the talking points that are here, distill them down to what you would love to make inside of your business, and force that new language culture upon yourself and kick it up a notch or three.
Well, I like your idea. Put a buck into the pot every time you screw up. Put a little discipline into it.
So here's another one I hear is digital vehicle inspection, which they say I'm paperless now. Well, I think there's a difference between understanding a pure paperless shop and one that's just doing an inspection. That's a misnomer right here, too. If you have a DVI, you're not necessarily paperless, right? You might have a lot of paper floating around.
If I was a client and I heard the fact that, you know, this really cool thing, I'm paperless, it may appeal to tree huggers. I get that. But I may also be worried that there's no paper trail if I have to go back for something.
It's a good point. But with digital, I'm probably more safe than the thousands and millions of reams of paper in my attic or one of the multiple auto repair shop attics that I have stuff that I'm never going to go find again. So I'm okay with it being digital. Oh, and then one more, Carm. I want to throw this out here because I've said this before, and it's what we call ourselves, independent aftermarket. I hate that term. If there's one more term we can change, one more term, it should be pro-market collaborative, the collaborative pro-market. Why can't we be collaborative and not independent? And why can't we be pro and not responsive, which is after? Those are two negative. It's like Microsoft. Yeah, work for them, but don't call yourself tiny software because it's just not going to work, right? Soft. It's not good. Tiny soft, like, is not a good name. So why do we call ourselves independent aftermarket? Why can't we call it the collaborative pro market? I like that. Let's change that term too while you're at it, Carm, if you don't mind.
The only thing going through my mind is pro market collaborative. And my biggest struggle as a podcaster when I started, I called my audience, the service professional. And then I'd bring on a supplier. And he'd be just installering me to death.
Yeah.
And then I would get, oh, damn it, I never had that pre-talk with him and say, you don't say that on my show, right? Think of the layer of the manufacturer still calls them installers, the supplier still calls them installers, and I'm not even sure the press industry has cleaned up that act yet in the words that they print and write. I'm doing my part to elevate the industry is it, to be service professionals and to be proud of it, but pro market collaborators?
All I'm going to do is plant the seed, Carm. I got seeds got to be planted somewhere.
VSP, vehicle service professional.
Yeah, VSP, Bob. I think you use that a lot, don't you? I think in Canada they're trying to call everyone VSPs, aren't they?
When I was on AIA and I was getting them to say ASP, automotive service professionals, but that doesn't cover everybody because you may own a truck or a fleet of vehicles. So they should all be Vs.
Every time I get together with you guys, we just have so much fun and we just partake so much knowledge under the industry. I had a blast. Chris, do you want to pop an acronym at us just to close this thing out?
I do. I was going to throw out SMS, DMS, POS. I mean, and they all kind of mean the same thing, right? I mean, that's one I hear a lot. And then you get SMS with SMS. Are you talking about short message system? Or are you talking about the shop management system? So SMS, shop management system, what we typically, DMS, dealer management system, and then POS is what most of us still run our businesses on. It's a jab at some of the, that's probably mean, right? Point of sale system.
10 years ago said SMS, and it evolved.
I think it was POS, and then it's evolved to SMS, right? And now, you know, like Bob said, it's an invoicing system. It's just a lot of one thing to describe one thing. We've got a lot of terms for that one thing.
But I do like shop management system. I really think it is an all-encompassing, wide description of everything that today's systems can do.
Exactly.
I would agree. Just throwing out all the different acronyms that can represent one particular thing. That's where we get confused sometimes.
Thanks, guys. Chris Cloutier, Golden Rule Auto Care, autotext.me. Always great to have you on. You know, wow. You can come on every week if you want, Chris. Bob Greenwood, Automotive Aftermarket E-Learning Center, bobgreenwood.com. Do you own that?
No. Jeez, I got to get CEO registered. I got to get profession registered. I got to get development registered. Invoice registered.
Next week, registering domain names. You heard her.
How do you do it fast?
Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks, Chris. Be good.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Carm.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.